got stolen by the grave robber.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this beautiful Pentecost morning, one of the three high holy days of the Christian Church, and we're happy to have all of you here with us, either in the sanctuary, watching on our YouTube channel, or listening on the radio. We're always grateful to have you along any way that you can come. A couple of announcements for us before we continue. There is a well-wishers card on the table in the foyer. Cindy Baker, who was a long time secretary here at the church, took a fall the last week or so, and is in recovering from that right now. And we have a card for her, so do sign that so we can send it on to her to give her our best wishes for a quick recovery. Our liturgist this morning is Tammy Young. Our radio sponsors are Tammy Hirth, in memory of her parents, Les and Dorothy. I never know how to pronounce that one, and their anniversary. Also today, one of the high points of the year is the Sunday. It's the last Sunday of Sunday school, so the kids are putting on a Sunday event. That's going to be down in the kitchen under the Ed building, right, Margaret? Yeah, so come down and grab yourselves an ice cream sundae to eat and hang around and talk to people. The adult Bible study will also be meeting in the kitchen of the under the Ed building, so you can join us for a conversation on the Pentecost story if you would like to. Are there other announcements out there that I was not? Yes, Rose.
Just a reminder that Lifeline screening will be here on Wednesday for anybody who's signed up.
The Lifeline screening Wednesday at 9 o'clock a.m. Okay, thank you, Rose. If there's anything else, I would like to read for you our welcome statement for this week. This one comes from Plymouth Congregational UCC in Madison. And here we have an example of a church that tries to be as broad as possible in their welcome, how they do it. Plymouth is a community of faith that seeks to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed. We are an open and affirming, immigrant-welcoming, just peace, dementia-friendly congregation. We welcome people of all ages, races, spiritual backgrounds, sexual orientation, and gender identity. We promise to join with you in making our community a world and our world a more loving, peaceful, and kind place to live. That one's done very nicely, I think. So we're going to enter into our time of silence this morning, but I want to prepare us for that with the opening to the Pentecost story and then a poem by Malcolm Guite, who's an English poet, Anglican priest. So this is how the Pentecost story begins and then how he interprets it. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Then Malcolm Wright puts it this way. Today we feel the wind beneath our wings. Today the hidden fountain flows and plays. Today the church draws breath at last and sings, as every flame becomes a tongue of praise. This is the feast of fire, air, and water, poured out and breathed like kindled into earth. The earth herself awakens to her maker and is translated out of death to birth. The right words come today in their right order, and every word spells freedom and release. Today the gospel crosses every border. All tongues are loosened by the Prince of Peace. Today the lost are found in his translation, whose mother tongue is love in every nation. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, breathe deeply, and become aware of God's presence around you and within you with each breath you take. Tammy will lead us in her call to worship. If you're able, would you please stand as we read together?
Come, sing a new song of worship.
Come, sing a new song of praise.
Today is a day of a promise fulfilled. Pentecost, a day when power and comfort flowed.
Pentecost, a day of hope and inspiration.
A day when the Holy Spirit was revealed in flaming glory.
And the glory was given to the people.
The fire of the Holy Spirit lives on in us. Sing praises.
We sing praises indeed.
Our first hymn this morning is Sound the New World Rising. The words will be on the screen. The music is number 238. In the New Century Hymnal, if you want to follow the tune.
Thank you.
Would you join with me, please, in our morning prayer? Let's pray together. Gracious One, if your spirit began to shake this building, pushing a holy wind through our doors, we would not know what to make of it. Our ears are not tuned to your voice. Our bodies are not accustomed to your touch. We are not sure what it means to be the spirit-enlivened body of Christ in our own time. Forgive us. By your Spirit, on this Pentecost Sunday, shake us, rattle us, awaken us to this new life in this new age. Bring your dream for this world alive in us and around us, we pray. Amen. Anyone, and that is everyone, who is in Christ has become a new creation altogether. The old is finished and gone. Everything has been made new. This is the gospel. The good news for us this morning, the good news that sets us free, makes us whole, and leads us all to say out loud, thanks be to God. This communion invitation this morning comes from, it's adapted from a We Worship book that's published by Wild Goose Publications. Well, God, early in the morning when the world was young, you made life in its beauty and terror and gave birth to all we know. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a manger announced that you would come among us, that you were one of us. Early in the morning, surrounded by respectable liars, religious leaders, anxious statesmen, and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for doing good, for being God. You shouldered and suffered the cross. Early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you came back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied, and destroyed you. Early in the morning, in the multicolored company of your church on earth and in heaven, we celebrate your creation, your life, your death and resurrection, and today your presence among us in the burning Pentecost flame. O God, keeper of promises, bring new life where we are worn and tired. Bring new love where we have turned hard-hearted. Bring us anew into green pastures and beside still waters until our souls are restored and our cups overflow. Early on this morning, for every lamb, for every one of us called lost, may you pull us closer and whisper, found. Hallowed be your name. We come to this table every week, remembering that night when Jesus had a table with his friends, how he took a loaf of bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, take and eat, this is my body, it is for you. When you eat, remember me. After supper, he took a cup and he blessed that and gave it to his friends saying, take, drink, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. When you drink, remember me. We gather here every week, eating and drinking in the company of each other, in the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming as we do what is the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends, the people of God. Come, everything is now ready.
Thank you.
Before we pray together, I just want to thank whoever it was who decorated the church for Pentecost. Tammy, I know it was you and Kathy. Thank you. I love red, and it's very beautiful this morning, isn't it? So thank them on the way out today, and let's pray together. Gracious God, you have loved us, you have redeemed us, and now you have fed and nourished us by the bread and the cup at this table. For these gifts and all of your gifts, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a choir anthem this morning. Thank you. Thank you, choir. One of my very favorite hymns. Well done. Kids' time. Wow. Where are they all coming from? You don't have to hide back in the corner, you know. You can come over this way if you want. Hey, everybody. So how would you like to hear a story you won't believe? You want to hear that?
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, if I have to. I'm not going to believe it, but I'll listen. 40-some days ago, here in the sanctuary, we had a worship service or something that we call Good Friday. Good Friday was the day when a bunch of really nasty, unpleasant, unfriendly people took Jesus and they killed him. They took his life. That was that Friday. A couple days later was Easter morning. And what happens on Easter? You treat him. What'd you say? He comes back? Yeah. Yeah. On Easter morning, the grave opens up and Jesus comes back. And nobody believes that either, except eventually they do believe it. And Jesus goes around meeting with his friends, his followers, and he says to them, I got to go now, but I want you to sit tight here. They were in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. He said, sit tight here in Jerusalem and wait, because I'm going to send you something you won't believe. I'm going to send you a piece of God called the Holy Spirit. And so you just got to wait for it, though. You can't push it, you can't rush, you got to wait. So they wait, and they wait, and they wait for 40 days. And then, all of a sudden, they're gathered together in this upstairs room in this house where they used to, that was their first church, actually. And they were gathered, they were going to have dinner together, and they were going to talk together and pray together and wait together. They didn't know what was going to happen, but all of a sudden, you know what happened? The wind began to blow. And then the wind began to blow harder, and then what came out of their heads? Little fire, little tongues of fire on everybody's head. And you know what the tongue of fire represented? See that little dove on my stool? It represented the dove who was the Holy Spirit, who was coming down to be with all these people, to bless them, to guide them, to make them able to do things that they never thought they could do. And you know what they started doing? They started talking in foreign languages that none of them knew. So one of them said, hola, ¿cómo estás? And somebody else said, Gesundheit. And somebody else said, who knows a foreign language out there? Say something in a foreign language, somebody. Hmm? Guten Tag. Guten Tag. Hmm? Can you see what? Woo! Japanese. Any other foreign languages out there?
Australia.
Say it again.
Australia.
Yeah, that's got the thing in it that I can't pronounce. But they started talking all these foreign languages. You know what they were talking about? They were talking about Jesus. And they were talking about how he had come and he had died and he came back to life and he was going to change the whole world, turn it upside down and right side up. And you know what? They were out in the street. There were hundreds of people who heard all this shaking of the building, all this wind blowing, and all this babbling coming out of people's mouths in languages that they knew but nobody else knew. And it was an incredible day. It was an amazing day. And you know what we call that? We call that the birthday of the church. This is when the church really, really got started. How many of you have a birthday? Oh, you've all been born. Whoa. Well, today, we're celebrating our birthday as a church. How old are we? Anybody know how old we are as a church? At least 100, yeah, but more. Not this church, the whole church.
Oh.
365? 365. Keep going.
1,000.
Keep going.
Huh? 2,000.
No, not 2050.
2,000.
2,000 and something. I didn't do the math today.
2007.
Could be 2,000. I think it's probably 2024. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's 2000 and I don't know, but it's about 2,000. Anyway, we're old. You think they're old. They're not old. They're kids. We're all, as a church, we're really old. And for the last 2,000 years, every Sunday we come here and we celebrate what happened way back then. We celebrate this Pentecost. Every Sunday we get a chance to be here and to see and to feel as the Spirit comes on us and wraps us up. See, you got one too, Henry. Got a little dove right there. And we sit here and we receive this wonderful, wonderful gift from God. So this is Pentecost. And I want you to keep Pentecost in mind because every year we're going to celebrate this. And every year is going to be a very, very special day. It's as special as Christmas. It's as special as Easter. And you got hung up on your ponytail. So don't ever forget that. Let's pray together, okay? God of wonderful miracles and mysteries, we are grateful on this day that we can celebrate this gift of your Spirit, this gift of yourself, when you come to be with us, to speak to us, to speak for us. Bless us and bless these kids, we pray, now and every day. Amen. All right. See you later. No, I lost it. Our invitation to the offering this morning is a poem I've been working on for a few years now. This is called A Prayer in the Dark. Let the Pentecost flame burn, fierce and warm, giving purpose to our lives. Let hope, the spring of living water, well up to soothe parched souls and bring this world to rest. Let grace, unbounded, have its way, recreating a garden-like place of safety. Let love, who won the peace, summon now our hearts to a generous kindness. Amen. We will receive our morning offering at this time. Would you join me, please, in our gratitude prayer? May your Spirit shake us free to give generously, to love extravagantly, and to live abundantly through whatever trials and blessings lie ahead. We are your people by your grace, and for this and all your gifts, we are grateful. Amen. Be seated, please. Sometimes the story that we are given for a particular Sunday is just too big. Like it's more than we can handle in one day. Pentecost is one of those days. Today we celebrate the birthday of the church with this reading from the second chapter of the book of Acts. Tammy has the first half of the reading, and I will have the second half.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." I've always loved that line. I imagine Peter chuckling as he said that. "These are not drunk, as you suppose, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." No. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." This ends our readings for this Pentecost Sunday. God is speaking to us through these words, and whenever God speaks, the words are true. We can always trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Luke says that the perplexed people in the street hear the surprised people in the house speaking in several different languages about God's deeds of power. Now, this sure got the attention of the passersby in the street, but the story of God's deeds of power for the infant church actually begins a few days before Pentecost, at the end of chapter 1. You see, the disciples had a problem to solve, or at least Peter thought they had a problem. There was a vacancy on the church council. Judas, you remember, had left the band of the 12 disciples after betraying Jesus. So they were down to 11, and 11, Peter thought, would not do. There were 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus had chosen 12 apostles. Peter was sure that needed to be fixed. So at a duly called meeting of the congregation, though probably without the requisite 2 weeks written notice, multiple reminders and announcements and many emails and bulletin announcements, Peter convened the church in the upper room where they had been staying, possibly the same room where they had celebrated Passover with Jesus 40-some days before. Two names are submitted in nomination for the position of apostle, Matthias and Justus. They pray for God's guidance, and then they roll dice or flip a coin or whatever like that. They cast lots, Luke said, and the lot falls on Matthias, and he becomes the 12th apostle. And everyone praises God for this mighty work, for this clear evidence of God's presence in the fledgling church. On the morning of Pentecost, at the end of chapter 2, end of chapter 1, the growing congregation has gathered again for a little preaching, some bread and wine, and what would eventually be called the good old-fashioned church potluck. I say eventually because here, everything is new. And these folks are making up this church stuff on the fly. But God is with them. Of that, they are certain. As they gather around the table, Luke says, great awe fell on everyone, and many remarkable deeds and signs were performed by the apostles. And that is precisely the point, I think. Pentecost, with the mighty wind, the tongues of fire, and the foreign languages, was a mighty work of God, to be sure. But so was that congregational meeting to elect a new council member. And so was the communion service and the potluck that followed. The simplest endeavors, when blessed by the Spirit of God, and most everything they were doing, most everything we do around here on Sunday mornings, is in some way enhanced by the Spirit, everything bears witness to the mighty works of God. You don't have to have fire shooting out of the top of your head to demonstrate the mighty works of God. And you don't have to speak a foreign language either. English works just fine. Covering the chancel in red works fine too, as do our handmade banners and our songs written and sung from the hearts of our own people. Any worship service in any church can be one of these mighty works. And one other thing while I'm at it here. For the church to even be here after 2,000 years, with its record of glorious accomplishments and its long history of astonishing blunders, for this congregation to be here after 160-some years to be the body of Christ in Sauk City, all of this by itself, these are all mighty works of God to be remembered and to be celebrated. This is also one reason why we share the bread and the cup at the table every Sunday. The mighty works of God never cease. Neither should our celebration or our experience of these mighty works, and our invitation to all of our neighbors to come and celebrate with us. Which brings me to the second thing I wanted to draw your attention to today. This was from Tammy's reading. "How is it," the crowd says, "that we, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, how is it that we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power in their own native languages?" Now, that's an impressive list of peoples and countries, don't you think? Luke frames the Pentecost event this way on purpose. The young church is realizing that the gospel is for the whole world. They won't be hunkering down in Jerusalem. They are going to spread like a wildfire before a hurricane-force wind, shaking the ground, bending over trees, until the mighty works of God are known over the entire earth. But there's one more thing to the story, something a little unusual, that makes this Pentecost truly a mighty work of God. Two of the nations on Luke's list, the Medes and the Elamites, had been conquered and dispersed several hundred years before Luke wrote this story. So not only were there no Medes or Elamites in Jerusalem on Pentecost, there were no Medes or Elamites anywhere in the world on Pentecost. And this is not a mistake on Luke's part. Because, you see, it turns out that what they were preaching on Pentecost was not just for people from every place. It was also for people of every time. The mighty works of God are not only for everyone who is, they are for everyone who was and everyone who will be as well. So, Medes and Elamites who died out centuries before Pentecost, and you and me, who were born 2,000 years after Pentecost, are included as part of this mighty work of God. Luke is opening the door wide into the future, into our time and beyond, you see. He's charging the church, including this church in Sauk City, charging us to speak to everyone, because everyone, without exception, is included on that list that Luke gave. Pentecost is an unbounded holy day. Medes and Elamites, Catholics and Protestants, Muslims, Jews and Hindus, conservatives and progressives, atheists and agnostics, queer people of every sort and straight people of every sort, black, brown, and white people, women people and men people, old people and young people, Republican people and Democrat people. No one is excluded. Everyone gets to hear the good news, this invitation, in our own language. Now, a lot of the people I just mentioned are people we don't know how to talk to, or people we don't want to talk to. A lot of these people speak a religious or a political or a cultural language that is foreign to us, that we can't understand, and they can't begin to understand us. These conversations have to penetrate barriers that are, in fact, impenetrable, which means, of course, that what we have to do is impossible. But that impossibility is irrelevant, because Pentecost. The wind blows, the building shudders, and the Spirit pries loose our tongues, and we are enabled to say things we never thought we could say. We're talking the mighty works of God here, people. That's why a conversation at Thanksgiving with your weird uncle can be a mighty work of God. That's why a conversation with someone whose politics or morality disgust you is a mighty work of God. That's what Pentecost is whenever, wherever it happens. A Mede, an Elamite, and a Christian walk into a bar. That's not a joke. That's Pentecost. All those early Christians did, you know, was to gather in a room and sit and pray and wait. Pentecost happened to them in God's own time. I doubt they thought they were ready. And the truth is, they probably weren't ready. But God was. and God made them ready. All we do is gather in this room on Sunday mornings to sit and to pray and to wait. Pentecost, a little less flashy perhaps, happens to us too in God's own time. We don't think we're ready either until Pentecost happens and we discover that we are ready. We discover the Spirit has shaken us loose and we are prepared. All of this is God's mighty work, remember. The violent wind, the shaking buildings, the fiery tongues, all the Spirit's doing, not ours. Reaching across barriers, showing kindness, generosity, patience, forgiveness, showing courage in the face of evil. These are mighty Pentecostal works and Pentecostal gifts given to us. Pentecostal gifts for the repair of the world. One damaged relationship, one broken promise, one wounded and wasted soul at a time. A Mede, an Elamite, and a Christian walk into a bar. That's Pentecost. Brace yourselves. You don't know what might happen. Amen. What are you praying for on this Pentecost Sunday? Who or what are you praying for? Where did the flame show up in your life this week? Kathy, thank you.
Cost, possibly all of us should pray for world peace as one people.
Yeah, wouldn't it be just wonderful if that little flame showed up all over the world at the same time and burned some sense into our thick heads? Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, Vicki.
I just like to keep Nettie in our prayers. She's still with us, but she has her ups and downs and stuff. But we just want to keep her in our prayers. And then I want to keep Audrey Wendt and her family in our prayers, because her husband Randy passed away, and his parents were longtime members of this church, Walter and Dorothy Wendt. And we'd like to keep his sister Renee that had attended here too. So keep those people in our prayers too.
Yeah, thank you, Peggy. Quiet week this week. Let's hold these two prayers together as we pray and conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Please pray with me. God of Pentecost power, of Pentecost grace, of Pentecost generosity and love for this entire world, come again and burn into us this spirit of generosity and forgiveness and love that is what you are and what you wish us to become. We offer ourselves not to save the world, but to be a part of the world that lives inside of and through your wonderful grace, your constant presence, your unbounded love. We pray for those among us who are sick or injured, who are in recovery. God, be close to bless them, to heal where healing is needed, to encourage where encouragement is needed. And bless us all. As your people here in Sauk City, make us more and more each day aware that we are yours, not by our own doing or because we are worthy, but because you are gracious and your love knows no end. And in that love, hear us, God, as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 63 in the New Century Hymnal, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. If you're able, would you please stand as we sing?
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in